Acts chapter 2, we're in a series on the early church, okay, and hopefully we are stretching some of your thinking, some of your expectations. We all come from different backgrounds or denominations or faith traditions, and so we're going to say some things that may challenge some of you, okay, that may be different than what you were taught, and it's okay. I think I'm right, and I think what you taught was wrong. Okay, come on, let's put our big boy pants on, because your childhood pastor would say the same thing about me, right? He thinks I'm wrong. He or she thinks they're right. Okay, it's okay. We don't always agree with people. All right, but I'm going to challenge you. Open your mind. Open your heart to Scripture. Let Scripture speak. All right. Hopefully, that's what we're all looking at to instruct our life. If we are already a follower of Jesus and we believe in the authority and inspiration of Scripture, which we do here. All right. So we don't believe this is a living document that could just be interpreted however we want. All right. There is meaning that's attached to this that was intended, all right? And my feelings, my reality doesn't change this. Sometimes I wish it would, right? You guys have heard my driving story. Sometimes people annoy me at four-way stops. I wish Scripture would change, and I could just bump them a little bit, right? But it doesn't. We've got to be forgiving. We've got to be loving, and so I don't. And insurance would go up, too. I mean, let's be honest. So I shouldn't have looked at the clock. So much time. Okay, back to my originally scheduled program this morning, right? So listen, we're in early church. This is part four. If you've missed any of it, I encourage you to go back and listen or watch YouTube, Facebook, right? Our website has just the audio because each week builds on the other. So I might be referring to some things today if you missed that you might not understand that you would if you were here, okay? So the early church, this was born, the beginning of the book of Acts began to grow exponentially and really changed the known world of the time, and it all started around the day of Pentecost, okay, as we discussed last week. But here's our question to get us started, okay? This is a doozy, all right? You guys ready?
Yeah.
Three people, God bless you, thank you, I'm encouraged already, all right? How would you live if you knew the world was ending? Anyone? Think about that. Do you wake up every day and go, this could be the day it all ends? All right? It's been a long time. It's, you know, there's been global catastrophe movies forever, right? Whether it was just science fiction, you know, you got Armageddon, you know, giant asteroids. The world is supposed to end about 12 times because of weather. I'll try to move on from that. But, right? What would you do if you knew the world was ending, okay? And let's say relatively soon, okay? That might help a little bit. Would your priorities change? Would your focus change? Some of you might quit your job immediately, right? Like, I'm not going to sit in this cubicle. You know, maybe you would sit in the tractor till the end. You're like, I'm just going to ride to the end, right? Because you got a better scenery than a cubicle, right? So what would that change for us, okay? What would that change for us as believers? It may bring new focus to our life, right? It might do a lot of things. Okay, if you've got a creative answer to that, feel free to use our Cornerstone Connect number. I enjoy a lot of those, even if we don't ever get around to sharing those. 605-215-5150. But you can also use this if you have any questions about our message or this series. And I may come back sometime in June if there's enough question kind of over this series. We may take some time in a service to answer a bunch of questions. Okay, so feel free to ask questions. As we go along, and we try to answer them during the week when we can. If I get a bunch of them, I might save them for one service. But we're going to pick up where we left off, all right? I should do, like, some trivia from last week. If you were here last week, does anybody remember the 3 points? That's okay. I don't really expect you to unless you've got, like, notes in your Bible. But we started with the day of Pentecost, okay? Acts chapter 2, the beginning, we started with the day of Pentecost. We talked about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You guys remember what happened? Okay, now I don't want you to lie in church, but I'm about to encourage you to. It makes me feel better. What happened? Okay, remember tongues of fire appeared? It's just like little flames, right? We don't really know how they, you know, rub their heads. They began to speak in other languages, right? Then we talked about how the crowd reacted. You remember what the crowd said? Those people are drunk. All right, they've been hitting the sauce, right? A little bit early. That's where we're going to pick up this morning. I'm going to read several verses, then we're going to come back, kind of work our way through it. Okay, so Acts chapter 2, verse 14, okay, this is where we're going to start. It says, Peter stood up with the 11, he raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain to you. Listen carefully to what I say. And so he's got their attention, right? So these people are not drunk. Okay, they're not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. I sort of like that. I think it's comical. Like, you know, like if it was midnight, maybe that was plausible, right? It's really more an answer to their culture. Even people that might have abused alcohol in that culture, it usually wasn't in the morning, right? So public service, if you're drunk at 9, you probably need to get some help, right? This is what he's saying, because that was an assumption they were making. Like, these people were drunk, all right? It says, no, this is verse 16. This is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. All right? So the beginning, you've got Peter explaining, hey, we're not drunk. He connects it to prophecy from Joel, which we'll get into in a minute. And then he sort of turns, right? This weird turn, this little ominous end of the world type stuff, right? Oh, you guys are cool. That doesn't bother you at all. You put that in all your greeting cards. Happy birthday. The moon will turn to blood. Everyone will be saved. Yay, right? No, it just took this ominous turn, correct? And so I want you to see a couple things here. I've got a few things underlined, right? At the very beginning of this, kind of verse 17, go back a slide, please. He mentions the last days, and then go to the next slide. He begins to talk about the great and glorious day of the Lord. Now, for us, we may not immediately understand that, but in the first century Jewish people, they knew that a day of the Lord was coming, and to them, that meant judgment, okay? But there's also something special about the last days for them that was connected to the Messiah. And if you've been here, especially any length of time, or even over Easter, we talk about it, the Jewish people were expecting a Messiah to come, right? They believed the Old Testament prophets. They believed that someone would come to deliver them. They just didn't recognize Jesus as that deliverer. And so Peter here is trying to connect the dots with Old Testament scripture to the person of Jesus and what was happening there right after the day of Pentecost, okay? So what I want you guys to see here is Peter begins to connect these dots. This activity of the Holy Spirit is really a last days empowering, okay? Number one, right? I want us to get this theme of last days in our head because Peter mentions it a couple times. This is a last days empowering, right? Peter frames the conversation this way. He says a lot in this passage, but he frames it through the last days, and specifically because the Jewish people recognize the last days as the age of the Messiah. Okay? He's not just explaining what happened. He's still explaining, and we'll get to that more at the end, that Jesus was the one that they were waiting on. Okay? So we notice in verses 17 and 20, speaking of the last day, speaking of the day of the Lord. Okay? They would recognize that as judgment at the end of the age of the Messiah. Okay? But he quotes from the prophet Joel. Again, making connections with the Old Testament scripture that they believed was scripture. Okay, making an appeal to the Jewish people there that had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the day of Pentecost. He's connecting it to the prophet Joel. And so, remember, they just heard people speaking in other languages. Okay, speaking languages they didn't know. They thought they were drunk. And he's saying, hey, this is what Joel said would happen. Right? This is what he said would happen. So, when we talk about here in Acts, when we talk about Day of Pentecost, we talk about the Holy Spirit, we talk about speaking in tongues. Again, it makes people nervous if they didn't grow up hearing about that. Okay? It sort of could appear, depending on your how long you've served the Lord, what you've read in Scripture, if you came from the church that just like, hey, trust me, the pastor will tell you all you need to know, right? For record, I never said that. You guys need to read Scripture for yourself, right? Peter's connecting these dots, right? He's trying to connect them to the Messiah. But the Holy Spirit didn't just show up on the day of Pentecost, right? I need you to understand that, all right? If you're a King James person, you call it the Holy Ghost. Many times in Scripture, it's called the Spirit of the Lord, all right? How long was the Holy Spirit active with God's people and his creation? Anybody? This would be a great little trivia question. Say the whole time? Yeah. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to go to the very beginning, okay? But some of you need to see this because we act like the Holy Spirit just shows up out of nowhere sometimes, okay? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." God's Spirit has been active from day one. He just wasn't like just hanging out heaven, and all of a sudden, day of Pentecost, bam, I'm going to show up, make a lot of ruckus, and people are going to think, my people are drunk, all right? It was not what happened, all right? Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, okay, God says, "Let us make man in our own image." You guys ever notice the plural there? I mean, it's allusions to the Trinity from the very beginning of Scripture. And so, I'm not going to do it, because even though I have a ton of time, it would take a long time. It'd be interesting if you guys would just get on even an online Bible website, Bible.com, BibleGateway.com, BibleStudyTools.com, whatever, okay, and just go through all of Scripture and look for references to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of the Lord, the Lord's Spirit. Okay, you would see an activity that might surprise some of you, especially if you didn't grow up hearing much about the Holy Spirit, all right? And so what I want us to see here, this was the last days empowering, but it wasn't like the Holy Spirit just showed up out of nowhere, okay? God is three in one, Father, Son, Spirit, been around from the very beginning, okay? So this is what I want you to see. This activity of the Spirit, though, this empowering, it was different, okay? Not a different spirit, it was just different. It was for a specific purpose at this specific time as Jesus is ushering in the last days, okay? You know, we're still in the last days. Did you guys know that? It's not just because of anything going on in the nation or politics or anything. If the apostles, if the first century church thought it was the last days, the later it gets, you don't move away from the last days. Does that make sense? Right? It's just like you don't get younger as you turn older, right? Now, some of you may cheat with the candles on the birthday cake, but that doesn't change reality, right? Last days, they viewed that they were in the last days, which is one of the reasons the Spirit came and empowered the people of God, okay? And so we get comfortable, especially in the modern church. It's not just an American thing, but in a modern developed world, I mean, we kind of get comfortable. And we're thinking about other things. Our focus is not on the Lord. We're definitely not thinking about the world ending, right? Or any sort of spiritual purpose attached to that. But this is the last days empowering of God's people. Paul, Peter, James, John, Jude, the writer of Hebrews, they all use this kind of last days language to frame the time that the early church is in. And so if that was the last days, we are definitely closer to the end now than the beginning. Did you guys agree with that? That's rock solid logic, right? You can't get that anywhere else in town, right? Okay, maybe, but let's just pretend it's us right now. Makes me feel better, right? No, right? Last days. Here's why I wanted to stress that. There are plenty of denominations, churches that are in the camp that God stopped working supernaturally after the apostles or after the early church, right? The Holy Spirit's active. He's active in us. But then it's very much that sort of limiting of the Spirit's activity and the Spirit's power, right? I'm not going to ask you. Some of you might have grown up that way. The problem is, if this was the last days empowering, we are more in the last days now than ever before. Okay? Peter frames it as the last days empowering for the mission of Christ, which we've already spoken about and we're going to come back to at the end. Right? If we are more in the last days now, doesn't it make sense that the Holy Spirit empowering is still available for last days people? Right? And people will try to make a case from Scripture, and I think it's flimsy at best, that the Holy Spirit decided to stop working supernaturally through the people of God, right? Sorry, I'm deciding whether I keep meddling or not. You know, church, I edit more than you think I do up here. You think it's just a stream of consciousness. And no, I'm going to let you peek behind the curtain this morning. I have something I want to say, and I forgot where I put it. Oh, man. So, how are you guys doing today? Da, 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 da. Okay. All right, we're going to continue. All right. So, we frame this last days empowering as I still believe Scripture points. It's still not just available today, but an expectation God's people should have, okay? So we are very much in the last days, more than the days that came before us, all right? But I want us to look at kind of who was targeted by this last days empowering, okay? Number two, I want to look at the last days people because this is important, all right? You may not think you're a last days person, but you are a last days person, right? Back to verse 17, we're going to go back and look at that. It says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Well, that seems pretty clear, right? All people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. So what stands out here is there's very much equal opportunity here. Everybody see that? Men, women, young and old, servants, all right? The Spirit of God knows no boundaries. It's just you're either a person of God or you're not, all right? The last days people of God were to have supernatural experiences, to be used in supernatural ways. And none of these listed here have anything to do with salvation, because at this point, it's an assumption that you're already a person of God, okay? You've already given your life to Jesus. You're already part of the family God, all right? And there's a last days empowering for last days people, all right? You remember last week's illustration? It's not a perfect one, all right? Often, illustrations are not perfect when we talk about the Lord. Okay, do you remember when we talked about the outpouring of Spirit? It's like pouring gasoline on it, like a embering or smoldering fire. Like, the fire's already there. But as the accelerant comes out, it just goes all over everything and everything lights up, okay? I mean, that's a pretty decent illustration of the Holy Spirit empowering, okay? Because the Holy Spirit lives in us at salvation, at conversion, when we give our life to Jesus. But the Holy Spirit empowering is shown in Acts chapter 2. It's really this outpouring. The Spirit comes upon us, okay? So all people. It's for all people. I think that's important to remember. Because if you have any knowledge of the Old Testament, you would see the Spirit's activity at times, typically limited to certain people or very small groups of people. In the Old Testament, there would be little groups that you might read about, groups of prophets with Elisha, or even King Saul, okay? These small groups. But usually it would come upon kings or priests, rulers, judges. You read about the Holy Spirit coming upon someone, right? See the Holy Spirit coming upon Samson, and he would do these mighty things. Okay? Men and women of God, for a particular time, the Holy Spirit would have come upon them. What's happening in Acts chapter 2, it's now available to all people. So in the last days, I'll pour out my Spirit on all people. It's not going to be a small sample size. It's not going to be limited. It's available to all people. Okay? And so what we need to understand is the Spirit of God has been active since day one. The Spirit of God has always been active, even in miraculous ways, but limited until this time in Scripture. It's available for all people, all right? The last days people have a last days purpose. But the Holy Spirit here comes, is available for all people. And Peter, in his message, we're not going to read all of it, okay? At the end, he sort of circles back to what he was saying at the beginning. Acts chapter 2, verse 39, he said, this promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Right? Like, it's not just for now, but it is for later. All right? And the argument that it ended is very, very weak, because when did it end? Right? You can't point to, even if you want to make that argument, you can't point to the time. Some people say, well, once we have Scripture. Well, Scripture was a very progressive thing. Okay? So, like, okay? None of those just stack up with Scripture. Okay? When we went through 1 Corinthians last year, Paul spent so much time talking about how to manage the gifts of the Spirit and how they should operate in a way to be beneficial for the church and for people. He was teaching that for future generations. No point to teach that if it was going to end with him. Right? Anyway, that's not even the point of the message. Somebody that might be an issue, and I want to stress that. This promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And so, this last day's empowering is for the last day's people, which we all are. But it all comes back to the last day's mission, which many of you know, we've talked about it, we will talk about it again. And the reason I talk about it, and again, probably in this crowd it does not apply as much, but there are many, we talk about Whether it's baptism in the Holy Spirit, we talk about the Holy Spirit's activity, we talk about the miraculous, we talk about gifts. They will run with it in a way that's not healthy because they will forget that there's a last day mission attached to it. All right? Not the point of message today, but here, let me remind you, God never does anything for us for a selfish motive on our part. Okay? God doesn't bless us because we're awesome and perfect, and God doesn't bless us to keep it to ourselves. You guys understand that? I mean, fill in the blank. Whatever the blessing is, He always blesses us for the sake of other people. And we can't forget that, all right? So this last day's mission, okay? What did Jesus tell the disciples before He left? Anybody remember? I probably can't hear you, so just mutter it out. I'll nod and we'll be like, oh man, I'm really impressed, right? Let's go back to Luke chapter 24. If you remember when we started, you remember Luke ends the way Luke begins, okay? In part because Luke wrote both of them. They're two volumes of the same work, okay? They're both about the size, maximum length of a scroll of that time, right? If they had longer scrolls, this might have just been one whole thing, okay? So Luke ends how Luke begins. Luke chapter 24, verse 46. Jesus is speaking, and He's talking to His disciples. He says, He told them, this is what is written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what My Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. The mission is clear, right? You've got to go tell the whole world about Me. You've got to tell the whole world what happened. You've got to tell the whole world the Messiah came and I am Him. You've got to go tell them that. But before you do that, you've got to wait till you've been clothed with power from on high. Okay? The last day's mission. It's repeated in Acts chapter 1, verse 8 at the beginning. And we've read this several times. We'll continue to read it. You will receive power and the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Very clear. We cannot forget that God empowers His people to fulfill His last day mission. He doesn't empower His people for my ego, for my image, for my warm fuzzies. Okay? That's not why He does it. He does it so that we can share about Him to those around us, even if He doesn't call us halfway across the world. Right? I've got a cousin who's going to go back to Africa in a couple weeks. We prayed for her a few months ago as she had eye issues. She's getting cleared to go back to Africa, right? To the Congo. And I'm so thrilled God called her and not me. Right? She's had to eat monkey brain, gorilla, anteater. Also, I love the stories and I'm glad it's her and not me, right? God may not call you overseas to do that, all right? And you may be going, whoo! But He still calls us to reach our neighbors however He chooses, okay? And so this is the mission. This is the empowering for the mission, right? And this empowering for the mission, man, it's essential. Here's a question. Why do you think we see such a lack of the Spirit's power in churches today?
Lack of belief.
Belief, right? I think there's a lack of separation from this last day's mission, right? A lot of people just go to church because they want to feel good, because they think they should, and maybe there is an element of belief, and I'm not even saying they're not saved, right? I'm not suggesting that. But when we say what?
Knowledge?
Yeah, some people may not know. But when we don't realize we live for the cause of Christ, you see that on our walls, Christ Community Cause, that's, right? We surrender and submit to the cause of Christ. That should shape and inform every decision we make, how we spend our time, how we spend our money, how we spend our talents, how we think about the world. And when we separate our lives from this last day's mission, we don't have an urgency anymore. Right? And I wasn't trying to pick on people, but several years ago, there's a denomination you guys would know. Great people, love God, they love His word. Okay, we're going to sit around in heaven and argue over who was right about secondary issues, right? No, probably not. We probably won't care at that point. But several years ago, their missions department, so to speak, had to change what they allowed their missionaries to do. They had to change how they functioned overseas. Because even though they didn't believe the gifts of the Spirit was for today and God's Holy Spirit was somehow limited, when the missionaries were undertaking this last day's mission around the world and increasingly confronting darkness, you know the only thing that changed that for them was the power of the Spirit that would come upon them. They just wanted more of the Lord, and they knew they needed a miracle in this situation, so they had to begin to change some of their policies and procedures and belief, because their missionaries were experiencing the Holy Spirit coming upon them. Because when there's an urgency and there's extreme darkness and you're fighting that, that's what's required to fulfill the last day's mission, right? Oh, maybe God still does that today. Right? I'm not trying to make fun, but that is literally what happened. Because people were of God were seeking answers, and God has had the answer since the day of Pentecost. So, God, you want more of me? That's fine. You don't have to believe perfectly, but if you're open and you want more of me, here you go, because you need this to fulfill the last day's mission. The Holy Spirit pours out upon the people of God, not to show off or build anybody's ego, not to make anyone feel better about themselves, but to draw people to Jesus. I mean, that's the point. But we lack the urgency because we don't understand, church, that we're living in the last days, even though it's been a couple thousand years since this part of the story. We're still in the last days. But God still wants to use his people to change the world. That's what he's called us to. And maybe that's just you being a neighbor to your neighbor. And when something comes up, like, you know what? Let me pray for you because I believe God still does miracles. Right? We're going to go back to Peter's message as he's quoting from the prophet Joel. Because I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That sounds ominous, but that day is great and glorious because God's people will finally be free from all the effects of sin. God is going to remake this earth. He's going to remake the heavens. The sad thing is those people that we love and know that don't serve him, that's judgment for them. It is final salvation for us. It's judgment for them. So this is an encouragement and it's a warning. And I think he's really trying to frame this. And he's quoting from the prophet Joel. Because we can't separate the activity of the Holy Spirit from the end times. Supernatural signs should point to God's presence, to God's reality, to his activity. And even John the Baptist connects Jesus' ministry with the power of the Holy Spirit in the last days. And I want you guys to see this, and I'm hammering this, because we often live like we're going to live forever, or we just don't think about it. And honestly, that's probably the case. It's not even an intentional neglect. Just like, hey, we keep doing what we're doing, right? Matthew chapter 3, John the Baptist is proclaiming that the kingdom is coming and preparing people for Jesus. This is chapter 3, verse 11, 12. It says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who's more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, I've never partaken of this. Erlen, you got a winnowing fork? I don't even know if I know what that is. Okay, I'm sure it's got some prongs. Anybody else got? All right. They would separate the good part of the wheat from the part they couldn't use, okay? And everybody that's listening to John the Baptist, they would have known that. Many of them have probably partaken in that. So he's saying Jesus is coming. He's going to baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire. Fire can represent power, but it represents judgment. And he goes into these verses about judgment, okay? This is the last day's empowering for last day's people for this last day's mission. See, even from the very beginning, this activity of the Holy Spirit is connected to the last days, church. And first century Jews, they were familiar with prophecy because they knew their story. They knew that supernatural speech was connected to the story of God, even if it was limited to certain people. But Peter's making the case that, hey, this is all about Jesus. The only reason this is happening is because the Messiah came. Right? He's connecting those dots for them. The church, I hope that makes sense to you. You know something that scholars think? Let's think about this for a second. They think this was a reversing of the Tower of Babel. Do you guys remember that story? Familiar with it? A bunch of contractors got together, right? Ancient contractors. I don't know if they took more than one bid, but they get together. You know, shortly after the flood, if you guys remember the story of Noah and the global flood, God was dealing with sin in the world. All right. And then who's the lead contractor? Anybody remember? What? It's a great name. It'd be a great name for a dog. I've told you guys, come on. Look it up. Okay. Nimrod. There you go. All right. So they get together, like, we're going to build this tower. Okay, make a name for ourselves. Some people think they were trying to avoid the next flood. We're going to go as high as we can. Right? Some speculation there, but, you know, educated guess. Some people think the day of Pentecost was a reversal of Babel because God came down. What did he do? He confused their language. It's like, look what these yahoos can do in the rebellious state if they're in unity. Right? Reminds me of the internet today, but that's a whole other thing. Right? When evil men unify, look what happens. So he comes down, he confuses their languages, right? And they separate. Limits the impact of evil and evil men and women on the earth. And again, Scripture doesn't say this, so this is not thus saith the Lord to anybody, okay? If you're new, I've actually never done that. For real. So Babel confused the languages, limits the impact of evil men, and then day of Pentecost, what happened? The Holy Spirit empowered people to speak languages they didn't know, and it was a witness to everybody that had gathered Jerusalem from all over the world. The Spirit of God can overcome the effects of sin, can overcome any social divisions, any cultural divisions, any language divisions. And there have been many and many stories of missionaries over the years who somebody spoke in tongues in a language that they didn't know, and somebody in the crowd knew that language. Countless stories that I've heard over the years from missionaries. I don't have one because I don't like the menu over there. But so that's anecdotal stories, I understand, but countless stories like that, right? And so God, by his power, by his Spirit, can overcome natural divisions. Divisions caused by sin, pride, and rebellion, like the day, can be like the Tower of Babel. And the Holy Spirit shows up with this last day empowering, and he flips the script. Okay? At the end of Peter's sermon that day, this is what he says. He spent a lot of time talking about Jesus and what happened to Jesus and why Jesus was killed. And verse 40, he says, with many other words, he warned them, speaking of Peter, and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They tried to buy more chairs, right? But I want us to see the whole picture, okay? Because many times Pentecostals and charismatics, we get so hung up on the warm fluffies of the Holy Spirit, we miss the whole point altogether, okay? So I'm acknowledging that, right? We want to pursue something out of a selfish motive or because it makes us feel a certain way, right? God never tells us to live any way or pursue anything because of our feelings. Usually, he's telling us to deny what we feel, okay? But Peter's message starts with the day of Pentecost. He starts with the supernatural working of the Lord. He starts with what people saw and heard. He starts with the evidence of what just happened. He connects it to Scripture. And ultimately, he connects it to Jesus, the Messiah. And people come to the Lord. Right? Because that is the last day's mission. Jesus said, go make disciples, but you got to wait because I'm going to give you power to do that. And then when he shows up, gives them that power, people come to Jesus. The Holy Spirit's purpose is to draw people to Jesus. All right? That's how we're saved in the first place. The Spirit draws us. It's this internal working. We're convicted of our sin. We recognize our need for him. And then once we're saved, there's a promise that the Holy Spirit also wants to come upon us in power and help us lead other people to him. That's it, church. But we are so scared to death sometimes of things we cannot control or even always explain, but to me are clear in Scripture. We limit what God wants to do. So I asked you at the beginning if you'd live differently if you knew the world was ending. Okay? And again, that is such a hard concept to wrap our minds around, right? Unless maybe you're getting older and you sort of see the end, okay? And I'm not trying to be flippant about it. As you get older, it's a little bit easier to go, okay, it's not as far as it used to be. But that's not even the same as the whole world ending and in the implications of that. The implications of people that we love that don't follow Jesus. That judgment is coming for them, right? The implications that maybe my neighbor doesn't know Jesus, maybe my roommate, maybe a person at work, don't know Jesus. And if you knew the world was ending in a week, we would probably be more motivated to share Jesus with people around us. Right? And that's, church, that's hard. Outside of working of the Lord in us, I don't know how to get there in the natural. Do you understand? I'm not just saying, I live like that every day, and what's your problem? That's not what I'm saying. I'm acknowledging that is hard. Even when we leave here, even after you've heard me hammer this, to live like we have a last days mentality. Because we don't expect the world to end in a week, right? So it's going to take constant work on our part to stay in Scripture, to stay in the Lord's presence, and just hopefully he can get us there, church. Right? Jesus in Luke chapter 4, speaking of the Spirit's activity, which would be another good exercise for you to do this week. Go through the Gospel of Luke and see how many times the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, Spirit of the Lord is mentioned. He highlights it more than any other Gospel writers because I think it's very important of how it connects to Acts. It's not an accident. But Jesus is quoting Isaiah 61. One of the most controversial things he said, he's reading from a scroll, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind. To set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. But Jesus said the Spirit of the Lord was on him to proclaim life and freedom for the lost. Okay, that is the last day's mission, church. We are called to do what Jesus did, how Jesus did it. Okay? We are not just to be saved, right? We are to allow the Spirit of the Lord to come upon us and reach other people. Listen, the end is coming whether we know it or not, whether that's another 2,000 years or 2 years. Like that number's irrelevant because we are in this age, this last day's age, where the Messiah has come, the Spirit has come to empower God's people to take care of this last day's mission, right? So it comes down to this. I'm going to ask the worship team to come back up. Right? If you're a follower of Jesus, it comes down to several things. I'm going to ask you, like, are you open to what God wants in your life? Right? Are you open to that? And that's where it starts in a lot of areas of personal growth. Are you open to what God wants? And you say, well, Jason, I don't agree with you. I say, great. Let's look at Scripture together. We won't argue. Let's look at it. And if you come to a different conclusion, then I'm going to leave that in the Lord's hands. Okay? That I can't coerce you into believing how I believe. I just encourage you to get in Scripture and let Scripture speak for itself. Look at what God says. Look at what Jesus said. Look what the apostles say. Look what they teach. Look at the patterns of Scripture. All right? Are you open to what God wants? Are you participating in the mission of Jesus? And this is a multi-pronged question for some of you. So yeah, I am in this area, but maybe not this area. Just as we go into this time of worship and reflection, just allow God to speak to you. Go, you know what? You're doing okay over here, but there's a couple more ways that you could participate in what I'm trying to do. Let Him speak to you from His Word. Let Him speak to you by His Spirit. Then are you seeking God's help to fulfill your part of the mission? That's important. Yeah, we have to recognize we can't do it without Him, but are you seeking His help? And this morning, make it your prayer. Ask God to have His way in your life and ask Him for His power to do it. Okay? Ask Him for His power to be His witness. Because that's what He's called us to do. Right? Say, well, Jason, what'll happen? I don't know. All I know is God gives good gifts to His people. And here's the thing, God won't make you do anything. Okay? He doesn't force us to do anything. We participate with Him as He leads us. Okay? So it's a constant yielding to what He wants to do, whatever that is. Okay? And that's true, even if it's not supernatural. So let me help some of you relax. I don't want to work in the nursery. God says work in the nursery. Okay. Okay. Is the Lord speaking you? That's the Spirit leading you. That's still supernatural. It's just not dramatic and visual. Okay. So we've got to become a little more comfortable with talking about the supernatural because it's not always visible. It's not always dramatic. Okay. Ask God to have His way in your life. Ask Him for power to do what He's asking you. I'm going to have everyone stand, please. I just encourage you, reflect a little bit during this time of worship. Worship team's going to sing one more song. And if you're not a follower of Jesus this morning, we would love to talk with you, right? We'd love to pray with you. I'm going to ask Frank and Karina to come up over here, all right? Listen, we'd love to pray with you this morning. If you need prayer about anything, we might have some of our Chi Alpha leaders in the back. I'm going to come up over here. But let's just make this a time of reflection and response to the Lord, even if it's not anything we talked about. So you know what? I need prayer for healing, or I need encouragement. We'd love to pray with you. We'd love to talk with you. And if you're not a follower of Jesus, I encourage you, reach out to us. Use a Connect card. Use our text number. Because Jesus came to give you life, whether you recognize it or not. And so we're praying that you would recognize your need for the Lord. And so let us pray for you this morning. We are a family. That's what a family does. Worship team's going to lead. Let's just respond to the Lord this morning.